verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is one of my all-time favorite verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, I love the next clause of that sentence. We have peace with God. Well, there's nothing greater in this world than to be at peace with God. The second best thing is to be at peace with your wife. Like they say, buddy, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Only thing greater than that is being at peace with God. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, so the grace in which you stand was entered not by righteousness of your own, good works, membership, baptism, all that kind of stuff. You had access by faith. Amen. You realize that puts every sinner on the face of this earth on exactly the same playing field. No big shots, no little shots with God. God loves us all the same. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. That is, the more you go through, and the more God delivers you out of, the more confidence you have in God. Nothing increases your faith in God like seeing God do something in your life. Amen? Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. So people who have had experience with God, and God has delivered them, you'll find that those people are not ashamed. The ones that have been through the fire and been delivered, the ones who have seen God do something in them and through them and for them, aren't ashamed. Now, some young Christian may be timid, may be a little gun-shy, may be a little intimidated and not want to take a stand for God. But them old warriors that's been through the battle and seen God come walking on the water and calm the storm, hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, you have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost sheds abroad in your heart the love of God. So, I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes, and I really will try and be as brief as possible. I know everybody wants to get down to Wendy's and get their chili and hamburger. I do. I want to talk to you for a few minutes on this thought. The love of God. It said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, I'm not an English major, you know, but you have to have some understanding of English and grammar, or sentences don't make any sense to you. And I know that that little of there, that little two-letter word, can refer to a thing as the object or the subject. I know that when you say the love of God, it can be the love of God toward you, or it can be the love of God that motivates you or moves you, your love for God, your love of God, or God's love of you. And you can do it like this. You say, the love of God compelled him to send his son to Calvary. Now, that's the love of God. You can say, the love of God constraineth me to serve him and live for him. That's also love of God. See? But we changed persons in there. Now, the truth is, we love God because he first loved us. Amen. And so God first showed his love to us. So the love of God was manifested in our direction. And now because of that, we love Him. So our love of God is now supposed to be manifested. Now where does that take place? It takes place in the heart. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Now it's very important that we know where it's done. Because the Bible said, from within our heart proceed the issues of life. The things you really care about, the things that are really important, the things that you really love, the things that you will really commit to, are always heart issues. Amen. There will be a million times in your life when you'll like something or enjoy something or appreciate something. You'll say, oh, I'd like to have that or I'd like to do that. And you never do it. But those things you set your heart on, you almost always find a way to accomplish. Say, why? Because it's really in your heart. It wasn't just in your head. It was right here. From within, out of the heart, proceed the issues of life. The Bible said, as a man, my sinus is running around my throat, it's killing me today. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I've got myself tangled up there. And if you come preach long enough, you'll do it too, so don't laugh at me. Amen. If you do, bless God, I'm going to laugh when you do it. So the issues come from the heart. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is what you really love is what you really do. People say, oh, I really love God, but you don't come to church. They say, oh, I really love God, but they don't read the Bible. They say, oh, I really love God, but they don't pray. They say, oh, I really love God, but they don't give. They just lie. They don't love God. I say, oh, I really love Mrs. Hensley, but I lay out 5 nights a week. I say, oh, I really love Mrs. Hensley, but I don't buy groceries. I say, oh, I really love Mrs. Hensley, but I won't take her to the doctor when she's sick. He's going to say, preacher, you don't really love Mrs. Hensley. Amen. If I really loved her, she'd get my time, attention, and money. I must be crazy about her. She gets all my attention. She is the sole object of my affection. And God knows she's got all my money. Now, so I want to talk about the love of God. And I want to talk about it in two respects. One, the love of God, usward, and the love of God shed abroad by us. The world needs to see the love of God. It really does need to see that. And the only possibility of that is for them to see that in us. If you and I do not shed abroad the love of God, if we don't love Him enough to live for Him and manifest Him to the world, they will never see Him. So let me give you four things. I only have four little points tonight. That's a really, really, really short outline for me. And we'll do these four points and go home. But I pray that even though it's brief, it will be instructive and helpful. And it'll help you and I to be more what we ought to be for Jesus Christ. That it will help us to be more what we ought to be for the world at large. Number one, we have God's love to the world. Like we said, we love Him because He first loved us. So God manifested His love first. The love of God was shown to the world. The Bible said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's God's love toward the world. That's the love of God for us. He looked down, saw our wicked condition, our sinful condition, saw our helplessness and our wretchedness, and God, in mercy and in love, sent His only begotten Son to die for us. The Bible said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm glad God didn't wait till we got right. I'm glad God didn't wait till we got righteous. I'm glad God didn't wait till we loved Him first. I'm glad God didn't wait until we served Him first. God looked at us, saw what a mess we were, shook His head, and decided to die on Calvary's cross for us anyway. Brother, that is an expression of love. Amen? The Bible said that some would even dare to die for a righteous man, but God died for us while we were yet sinners. There is no greater love than that. It's incomprehensible love. And so God manifests His love to the world. Then there's the love of God to the saints. The Bible said that God hath given unto us His Holy Spirit. Take your Bible, turn back to 1 John chapter 4. And you might want to get back there to 1 John, just hang on to it for a minute, because we have to refer back there two or three times. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Now, if you're saved by God's grace, there's something you've got. You've got the Holy Spirit. They say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Yes, indeed. I received the Holy Ghost when I believed. Amen, amen, and amen. I ain't been waiting to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost when I got saved. Amen. He put me in Christ the minute I said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, the love of God is manifested to the saints through and by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us to birth us into the kingdom of God. You're saved because of the work of the Holy Spirit. God formulated the plan. They say God thought it, Jesus wrought it, the Holy Spirit brought it. Amen? And you are in Christ because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hadn't called you and wooed you, convicted you, and placed you in Christ, you'd still be lost and on your way to hell. Somebody say amen. But He did, and you are. And I trust tonight that you're saved and thankful for it and excited about it. And it's all because of the work of the Holy Spirit. God manifested His love toward the saints in the giving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit birthed us into the family of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who washed us from our sins. Amen? The Holy Spirit is God's cleaning agent. And the Holy Spirit washed you whiter than snow. He took the blood of Christ and cleansed you from all your sin. When they say, are you washed in the blood? Yes, indeed, I'm washed in the blood. And the Holy Spirit took the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and cleansed me. He birthed me and cleansed me. And then the Holy Spirit sealed me. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed under the redemption of the purchased possession. I'm telling you, God manifested His love to the saints by giving us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that part of the Godhead that makes God real, that gives us grace and strength, that gives us leadership and wisdom, that gives us all things that pertain to Christ and the life to come. And He is the agent of God that is with us to help us and abide with us and strengthen us in this life here. Buddy, God loved you, and the demonstration of that love is He gave you the Holy Spirit, who can supply all your needs in this present world. Amen? So He's births us, He washes us, He seals us, and then He guides us. Thanks be unto God for the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it have been an awful, awful thing if God had saved you because He loved you and then left you without the Holy Spirit, left you without an infallible Bible, and left it entirely up to you to figure out how to live for Him and how to maximize your life and how to be a witness for Him, how to reach the lost, and left it all up to you without any divine help, without the agency of the Holy Spirit. You had to do it all on your brains, your power, your might. What a mess. What a mess. What a mess. But God loved you, and He proved He loved you when He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell you. Amen. So, we have God's love to the world in sending His Son. We have the love of God to the saints in giving us the Holy Spirit. Well, it's easy, and I could go on and on and on, demonstrating how God first loved us and show you the love of God toward lost mankind. Everybody in this room is supposed to be saved. You ought to know that already. That ought to be a present reality in your life. It ought to put joy in your soul. It ought to put a song on your lip. It ought to put a skip in your walk. It ought to put a shout in your talk. Amen? Then the next question is, the love of God in us, how is it shed abroad? How does the world know that we love God? I know how we know God loves us, but how does the world know we love Him? How does the world know about your love of God? Well, just as surely as God's love for us or of us was manifested, our love of God can be manifested. It ought to be able to be seen. It ought to be able to be demonstrated. Anything that's real ought to be tangible enough so that it can be seen and quantified and understood. Amen? Even God, you say, well, you can't see God. I know, but you can see the creation. If there's a creation, there's a creator. The Bible said that even His eternal power and Godhead are made manifest by the things that are. So let's look at our love to God. Now, we're talking about the love of God being shed abroad in your heart. That is, you got it here, and as a man is what he thinks in his heart, from within, out of the heart proceed the issue. If there's real love in there, it's got to come out. If it's just head knowledge, if it's just mouth talk, it never amounts to anything. But if it's from the heart, if you really believe it down here, it comes out. Because what a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you believe. Alright, in 1 John chapter 5, let's take our Bible and turn back there again. I told you to hold on to it. 1 John 5. Look down in verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now look there, you prove two things with one stroke. What does it say? By this we know that we love the children of God and we love God and keep His commandments. So, there's two things there. If you really love God and you keep His commandments, that proves that you love the brethren and it proves that you love God. So, the love of God is manifest abroad. That is, it works its way out of our heart and is demonstrated to the world by keeping God's commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. That is, the things that God tells you to do and the things that God commands you not to do in the Word of God ought not be a burden to the child of God. They ought not to be grievous to you. They ought not make you fret and carry on. God's commandments are reasonable, fair, righteous, and in your best interest, and in the best interest of your fellow man. And so, we know that we love God when we keep His commandments. Isn't it an awful thing that all the time we see Christians who are fussing and fighting and kicking against the things of God? Well, I don't know why we can't do that. I don't see nothing wrong with that. Well, that's the way it used to be, but things are different now. That's some Christian, professing Christian, I don't know whether real or not, fussing about doing what God said do or not do.
They want to get along with the world. They want to have their own way. They want to give the flesh its way. They want to indulge themselves. They want to live in pleasure. And therefore, there's a conflict between what they want and what God said. And they fuss and they fight and they kick against it and they fight against it. Listen, the commandments of God to a man who loves God are not grievous. Doing right, living right, staying right, all the joy of your heart. They ought to be the thrill of your soul to be able to do the commandments of God. You ought to rejoice that you have an opportunity to obey God's commandments.
So, there's a love of God to us, and then there's a love of God from us to Him. Now, there's our love to God, and then we need to shed abroad His love from our heart. And that's in two directions or in two areas. Number one, there should be the love of God from us to the saints. Then there should be the love of God from us to the world. I want to talk about both of those. Now in Romans 5, where we are, it said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is the job of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer to help you manifest to the world the love of God. They can't see God. You can't see Him, feel Him, taste Him, touch Him, or hear Him. Amen? His representatives, you and I, saved by God's grace, are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And it is our job to beseech the lost to be reconciled unto God. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to live a life worthy of our vocation. To live in such a way that our life does not hinder our testimony for God. Amen? So how do you do that? Keep His commandments. That's not so hard, is it? Take your Bible and turn back to 1 John chapter 3 for a minute. In 1 John chapter 3, let's look down there at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Now, people who love God and saved by God's grace, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, are supposed to be continually and perpetually trying to purify or clean up their life. We never get to a place where we've arrived. We never get to a place where we think we're it. Amen? You ought to be striving, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus forever and ever and ever. Look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Got it? That's a pretty strong statement. That thing said, if you don't treat your brother right, if you don't treat your fellow Christians right, you're not saved. I didn't say that. The very idea of some Christians thinking some people are worthy of their attention and some aren't. That some are on their level and some are beneath them. I'm telling you something. You're a sinner saved by grace. You got saved by faith, and it was the gift of God and not your righteousness. Amen? And everybody is your equal. The idea, you know, you see some Christians sucking up to some and putting on the dog and boot licking and all that and just strutting their stuff because they're impressed with them.
because of the way they're dressed or what they have or who they are. And then some other saint walks right by them, and because they're from a lower state in life, they don't have money, maybe they don't have class, maybe they don't have fancy clothes, they shun them and ignore them, never speak to them, never have anything to do with them. God have mercy on your miserable, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing soul. You're not supposed to show partiality in your love. You're supposed to love all of God's children. All of God's children. I'm telling you, there ain't nobody harder to love than some of y'all.
Amen.
By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Well, there ain't no love in you thinking you're better than somebody else. There ain't no love in you thinking some people are so low on the totem pole you don't have to speak to them or shake their hand. Amen. Are they saved by God's grace? Are they in the same family with you? They've been washed in the same blood, cleansed by the same blood, sealed by the same Holy Spirit? How dare you not shake their hand and not fellowship with them? Shame on you! Shame on you! You're not manifesting the love of God. You're manifesting the love of the devil. That's the way the devil does. God's people ought to treat everybody, especially the household of God, the same. There should not be any partiality in the church house. Amen. He said, you are my disciples if you have love one to another. If, well, what if you don't? Then you're not his disciple.
Amen.
Well, I don't have any problem with that. I can fellowship with Brother Tommy. He's a nice fella, nice looking man, got a nice wife, makes good money, drives a nice truck, and we're equal, you know. He's intellectually, we're right there together. I can fellowship with Tommy. I'm not gonna pick on Brother Mark. Okay, I'll pick on Brother Mark. What you understand? You see the very idea that a Christian would think that there's somebody they can't fellowship with, somebody they can't befriend, somebody they can't love, simply based on how they look or how they dress or how what they have in this world? What an abomination in the eyes of God Almighty! You are all condemned. You are all sinners. You are all headed to the same hell. You got saved by the same grace, washed in the same blood, sealed by the same Holy Spirit. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. This old sinner would be glad to shake any other sinner's hand. Buddy, I was headed for hell. Amen? And honest before God, I don't think I'm better than nobody. There is nobody, no Christian, that I'd be ashamed or embarrassed to own as a brother or a sister because I know what I was. I sure ain't better than nobody else. By the way, all them big shots that folks are always hobnobbing to, they just sinners just like you.
Amen.
All that partiality in the body of Christ, that's an abomination. The Bible said pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Do good unto all men. The love of God ought to be manifest to the saints. It ought to be manifest to the body of Christ by each and every one of us, irrespective of who they are or what they are. If they need help, if they need your fellowship, if they need your assistance, you ought to be willing to put it there. If they need your friendship, you ought to give it. If they need your support, you ought to give it. If they need your prayers, you ought to give it.
Amen.
You're going to spend eternity with them. You might as well start practicing up. Christians remind me of little youngins. Yesterday morning, Friday night, grandkids spent the night with us. We got them some stupid movie they wanted to watch, and they watched the stupid movie. And we had blackberry cobbler and ice cream, and watched the movie, and they stayed up later than usual, and finally we put them to bed and got them up Saturday morning and let them get dressed and all that. Went down to Shoney's and had a big old breakfast and everybody ate till they was just full. And then we went and looked for some videos and stuff and bought two or three old movies and just had a good old time and went back home. And we're in the car riding back to the house. And then three chapters back there, and here we've been giving to them and giving and giving and showing our love and care for them and all that. And you know what I hear back there? He's touching me! Mama, did you hear what he said? They're back there bickering and fussing with each other over being too close or bumping up against each other, or they got two pieces of candy and only got one. Bought them a pack of chewing gum this morning. There's five pieces in the pack. I get one, they get one, there's one left over. You know what they do? They fight over who gets the extra piece. You know what I did? I took the chewing gum and gave it to the mama. Don't that sound just like Christians? Bickering over little things and fussing and fighting and showing our butt, you know, and just making a fool out of ourselves over the most trivial, insignificant things in the world. Well, I wore my new dress and nobody said nothing. Lord, help us. I went to church this morning and the preacher just walked right by me. Listen, I can walk right by him. He's going to get upset. So-and-so didn't speak. Or, you know, so-and-so didn't say nothing about my... Give me a break, man. Petty, spoiled, rotten Christian. I bet you if you was in communist China or Russia, in one of the underground churches where you had to sneak around and maybe all you had was a page out of a Bible or a half a page out of the New Testament, and if you got caught, it's going to cost you 20 years in jail down in the gulag or whatever it is, I'll bet you then you wouldn't be so petty. You know what it is? They're spoiled. We're spoiled. We're spoiled. We quit manifesting the love of God to each other. Then there's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts to the world. It's terrible how siblings treat each other. It's an abomination the way the church fusses and fights among itself, among the members. But it really is a tragedy beyond words when we fail to manifest the love of God to a sin-sick, dying world. Men and women, boys and girls, are going to die and go to a godless grave, to a Christless eternity, and burn in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever because we did not love God enough to show that love to the world. We didn't love humanity like God loved it. God loved it and sent His Son. And we have His Son. We'll keep Him to ourselves. There are people all around you and I going to perish without Christ. There are people that you can reach that I'll never meet. There are people you will see and can have an influence on that would never listen to me. You don't take time to invite them to church, give them the gospel tract, tell them how to get saved. I was in the bank Friday. I had to do some banking. I had to cash my check so I had spending money for the weekend. I'm standing in line, and there's a black guy in front of me, and there's another black guy that's just getting through, and the black guy just got through. He's got on one of those red sock hats, stocking caps, whatever you call them. And they obviously knew each other, and they were talking back and forth and talking about how they'd bumped into each other here two or three times recently and hadn't seen each other in a couple of years. And they were talking about Christmas and all this stuff. And well, the guy with the hat on said, well, maybe I'll be your Santa Claus this year. And the other guy that was in line in front of me, he said, I'm not looking for Santa Claus. He said, I'm looking for a Savior. So So I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, I can point you to him. That guy, honest, that guy was demon-possessed. He went, and his face all puffed up and he turned red. And that guy whirled around and never said another word. And the lady in front of him, she turned around and she didn't like it, you know. She was looking for me to tell him how to find the Savior. That guy wasn't talking about the Savior. He's talking about somebody to deliver him from all that money, you know, the expense. So I would... See, wait, I'm trying to say we got to make an effort to manifest Jesus Christ and the love of God to a dying world, to a sinful world, to men and women who are headed to hell. You got to make an effort wherever you are, whenever you get a chance, to try and tell them and to show them that God loves them. We lost sight of that. We won't play our games, have our recreation, entertainment. And God knows I'm in favor of all that. I really am. I like to have fun as much as anybody. I think sometimes I like to have fun more than most. I know I like to smile more than most. Pitiful when you can't laugh. Tony Green's got that tape, Life is Too Short Not to Laugh. I love that. You ought to hear some of his jokes down at the mortuary. I mean, they are a riot. The world out there is perishing. We're going to perish without God. And here we say we have the love of God. And we don't tell them. Come on, back there. Do good unto all men. The best thing you can do to anybody, tell them about Jesus Christ. I think you ought to help them fix flat tires, go get them gas when they run out, loan them sugar when they need it. And I think you ought to do all the nice things and the neighborly things. And all that's great. But all that's supposed to be a means to an end. And the end is to get them to Jesus Christ. Amen. The world ought not to just think of you as a do-gooder. They ought to think of you as a good Christian. And you ought to do your good works, not just to be nice, but as an opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ and to tell the world about Him. The Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How do we manifest the love of God to the world? We preach to them about Jesus Christ. Now, you may not have to scream and holler and shout and spit slobber all over the first three rows like I do. You may be able to preach sitting down in the dining room or the den, sitting in the easy chair with a cup of coffee and a piece of cake and talk to them about God. Amen. Maybe you sit around a lunch box or a lunch pail at work and talk to them about God. Maybe you could hand them a gospel tract as you check out down at the Winn-Dixie. Well, we ought to be doing all we can, every chance we get, to manifest the love of God to the world. If He's in your heart, He'll work His way out. Let me ask you this question. See, I know God loves you. I know that. I don't have any doubt about it. I don't have any problem with that. God loves us all. God's manifested. God's demonstrated His love. Here's the question. Do you love Him? You say, yeah, I love Him. He asked Peter three times, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, you know what He said after every one of them? Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lamb. Peter, feed my sheep. Every time God talked to him about love, it was in connection with service. He said, well, I serve the Lord, I go to church. No. This is the fuel station. This is where you come to get charged. You enter to worship. You leave to serve. Can the world see the love of Christ in you? If they cannot, you need to get busy so that they can. Father, we thank you now for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I pray.